what differentiates the CPS method from the PMT one?
The PMT method is a behavioural approach. It's very much about putting contingencies in place to shape a child's behaviour. So a parent wants the child to pick up toys off the floor, and they ask the child to do it. The child makes a move towards picking up the toys. The parent praises and therefore increases the chances that that behaviour is going to happen again in the future. The child doesn't pick up the toys and the parent puts in a consistent consequence. So PMT is all about attaching contingencies to the behaviour to either increase the likelihood of that behaviour happening again or decrease the likelihood of that behaviour. CPS, or Collaborative and Proactive Solutions, takes a very different approach. It's based on this idea that children who have behaviour problems tend to have cognitive deficits. So that might be with areas like frustration tolerance. They may have difficulty transitioning between activities. They may see the world in too black and white. And then you've got the interaction between the child and their parent. So let's say, for example, you've got a child who has difficulty transitioning, more so than other children. So this child is sitting watching TV and you're wanting them to do their homework. With CPS, what would happen is the therapists are not interested at all in the child's behaviour. The child's behaviour is just an expression of what's going on. They talk about going upstream, being interested in the unsolved problem that is leading to this behaviour. So the idea is that really most families rotate around having problems with the same set of unsolved problems. So if we can go back and solve the problem, then that should prevent the behaviour. How it would work is that child and parent or parents are in the same room. The parent would say, look, I've noticed you're not doing your homework. What's up? Gives the child a full chance to express what the problem is with that. And some of the therapists think that this may be an active ingredient of CPS, that often parents, knowing their children well, tend to assume why a child does something. And often it's quite a surprise when they actually just stop and check in with them and ask them as to what their motivations are. So the child expresses why they're not going off and doing their homework. The next step is then empathy. So the parent sits there and empathizes with the child. So rather than getting straight into, well, you've got to do this or you've got to do that, or a lecture, which is, you know, what a lot of us do, that you need to do this and this is part of your homework, you empathize with where the child is at. Then you as a parent can express your concern about what happens if the child doesn't do it. The child expresses their concern, and together they then problem solve how this might be sorted out. So an example of what that might look like is that the parent comes in, gives the child, you know, the child has a clear expectation about what time is TV time, what time is homework time. The parent comes in, say, 5 minutes before and gives the child a heads up that homework's coming soon. So the important part is that this is a solution that is not one way. This is not unilaterally mum saying, well, this is what I'll do to make it easier for you, or dad saying, this is what the plan is, you need to fall in line with this. This is a solution that is generated in a collaborative sense. They then discuss whether or not this is a realistic and practical solution, and they try it out. If it doesn't work, they come back and problem solve further.
On the post about this clinical trial that you're looking to host, there were two questions posed to parents. There was, do you feel you have run out of answers for parenting your child? And also, do you feel stressed or overwhelmed? Do you expect that parents will be receptive to the idea or eager to kind of re-bond with their child after, you know, struggling up until this point?
Yeah, that's a really, really good question. And I think the families that I've seen come through therapy, 100% of those families express that they have tried everything. They don't know what else to try. And there's a, I guess, a desperation or a hopelessness that's starting to set in. But of course, there's still hope because they're coming along. But there's a spectrum of parents, and I've also seen parents who are right at the point of being detached because they feel so hurt and because it's also emotionally overwhelming. You know, these parents are sort of called up by schools and they're having to go in for appointments all the time. They feel like they're fighting right throughout the day with their child. So you see parents that go right through to the end of the spectrum of being quite detached from their child, which is really sad.
And I'm interested as well about the age range, because from 7 to 14 is those. That's the age group you're looking for parents and children to participate. It doesn't 7 years doesn't seem like a long time, but also 7-year-old at prepubescent stages and a 14-year-old who I guess typically is just about to begin puberty. Why brush along that particular age range for this trial?
The behaviours that we're talking about really are centre around defiance. So many of the things are the same things. You know, it's a 7-year-old, you're asking them to pick up clothes in their room. A 14-year-old, you're asking them to pick up clothes in their room. A lot of the issues are actually very similar. You know, sitting down, you know, a 7-year-old still needs to do their reader. A 14-year-old still, you know, needs to do their homework. They're still very similar issues.
Why did you choose to recreate this particular trial in Australia?
Because PMT, parent management training, even though it has been such a successful therapy, it's not a successful therapy for a lot of families. And behaviour problems are the most common problem presenting in our community mental health clinics for obvious reasons. So, you know, behaviour problems are very disruptive for the family, they're disruptive for siblings, they're disruptive for schools and classrooms. So when there was, I guess there was the opportunity there, it looked as though there was another therapy that was also doing as well as PMT. This was a big finding. We wanted to see if we could replicate that finding.
And how do you find that? Because you're ultimately the one who is the, I guess, middle person between child and parent in particular circumstances. Mm. You've got another skill set that you're looking to learn from and then apply in your practice. Does that then equip you to better have a handle on a multitude of situations?
Yeah, exactly. So I think as a therapist, you're always trying to look for more tools in the toolkit. And we're going out next year to disseminate some of this research into community mental health centres. And really, you know, therapists are all trained in PMT, a couple of other therapies for behaviour problems. And this adds another set of tools to the toolkit, if you like.